So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, just want to set in context a little bit the passage that that Dan just read to us. It comes at a very fascinating point in John's Gospel. Right prior to this was a chapter about Jesus essentially seeking out a blind man, and this is a man who was blind from birth. And the story begins with Jesus' apostles coming to him and asking about this man who was blind. He was begging at the gate, and they said, "So, why is this person blind? Is it because of his sin, or was it his parents' sin that he would be born blind?" And Jesus says, "Well, it's not his sin or his parents, but this is a good chance to show the love of God and the power of God." And so. So Jesus makes some spittle and spits on the ground, makes a little rub, puts it on the man's eyes, and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he goes and he washes, and he comes up out of the water and he's able to see. And then Jesus tells him that to do that, and then to go and show himself to the priests. So he does, and I would just think this would be a great thing. You know, it's a lovely miracle. Here's a guy born blind who gets healed, but he goes and he shows himself, and people get angry at him. You know, so were you really born blind? And they didn't believe he was born blind, so they bring in his parents, and his parents say, "Well, yeah, as far as we know, he was born blind." And he said, "How then did he see?" And he had said, "Well, Jesus told me what to do. He made this stuff, put on my eyes, told me to go wash. I did. Now I see." And the leaders were not liking that idea, because it happened on the Sabbath, for one thing, and that, you know, who is this Jesus? And people were beginning to believe in him. And so that's a passage that's before the one we have. And as Jesus begins this, he begins saying, you know, there's a lot of false shepherds out there. There's a lot of people who will come in and say that they want to lead you, they want to guide you, they want to show you who to be and how to be, and a lot of them are false. And so it's from that we get the passage that Dan read to us, that when Jesus says that, you know, I am the good shepherd, and I'm the good shepherd because I am willing to lay down my life for those who have been entrusted to my care. And he goes on through the discussion. As we go on through the discussion, Jesus talks about what that means, that a good shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know him, and that there's this recognition between the shepherd and the sheep, and the sheep know that they can trust this one with who they are. And so as Jesus continues on through the passage, he makes a statement. He says, you know, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. There are others who are really important to me that my words are not going to reach in this season of my being. In fact, as Jesus says this is the last thing that he does before he goes to Bethany, where Lazarus has died, and where he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, and then that sets the stage in John's Gospels for the coming of the Passion. So we're very close to Jesus' death at this place. And this is really the last of Jesus' miracles in the Gospel of John. So he heals this blind person. The authorities criticize that, and they're... they begin looking for a way to get to him, and they don't understand how a person would heal just an ordinary blind human being. That there was nothing particularly special about him. The blind man did not go to Jesus seeking after Jesus. Jesus actually went to the one who was blind, and Jesus kind of leaves us with this passage as we move on through it, and he says there are other sheep not of this fold, who are important to me. And as we know in the gospel, as Jesus now goes on to the Passion, to the crucifixion, that it's pretty clear that Jesus' message is, I'm not going to be the one to bring these people in. That's up to you. You are to become the good shepherd. You are to live in ways and to speak in ways and to invite in ways that are going to take people who are sitting by the gate, recognizing their lives as going nowhere in a hurry. You are to be the people who now need to invite those who are in need of hearing the gospel into the revelation that exists within Christ and exists within the church when the church is faithful to its own self. So it's just this beautiful passage. It's an anchor passage. It connects to the Good Shepherd in Psalm 23, and anybody living there in the first century and before was quite aware of sheep and what all that meant. And so people connected with this story, with what Jesus had to say. And so John brings us this message, and John is recounting Jesus' words from when he was, Jesus never got to be anything but a young man. He died in his very early 30s. You know, so when Jesus died, there was this strong belief that the end of time was coming very soon, and that Jesus would return and call all who were in Christ to himself. And that, you know, when we see Paul's writings, when we see writings of the other evangelists, there's a sense that this is going to happen immediately. That there are people who are not going to see death until all the things Jesus has spoken have been accomplished. And so the apostles really felt like this was going to go on. It was going to be immediate, and they kind of lived as people expecting the immediate consummation of history. And I know there are people that are still kind of very much in that vein. I have a sibling who was very careful never to save for retirement, because afraid that if they would have saved for retirement, that would show that they were questioning whether or not God was going to return, Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. And if they were saving for retirement, it kind of meant they didn't believe the gospel enough. And so it seemed like a good idea at the time, but now they're in retirement, they're going, oh, wow, maybe that wasn't so clever, because it didn't happen the way they thought it was going to. So we find the second reading this morning comes from the first letter of John. And the first letter of John is probably the latest thing written, with the exception of Revelations. The letters of John are the last things written that are included in our scripture. And so we find this passage that is before us, John 3, 1 John 3:16, different than John 3:16, but John, the one writing the letters, says, "So we know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. Beloved, if your hearts do not condemn us, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments, and we do what pleases him. And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as Jesus commanded us. And all who obey his commandments and abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. So John's writing about the year 100. It's been 30 years, maybe a little more, since Jesus was crucified, since the activity of the resurrection. It's been so that happened in the late 20s. So it's been 70 years, and virtually everyone who had known Jesus face to face has since died, and the whole lot of stuff has happened. The Romans have turned against the Jews. The Jewish nation is no more. The city's been destroyed. The temple's been destroyed. There's these religious leaders that have kind of come in, and they've decided that they're going to they're going to get it all back. They're going to create a bunch of rules and regulations, and those rules and regulations are going to be such, and we're all going to start behaving exactly as our leaders tell us God wants us to behave. And by doing so, God's going to come back, and we are going to get the blessing. We're going to get our city back. We're going to get the walls back. We're going to get the temple back. And by rigidly adhering to laws, we're going to get back in God's good graces. That's what, when we think of Pharisaic Judaism happening in the first century, the very end of the first century, that's kind of what's going on. The lawyer class took control of the world, and they were trying to get people to behave in a particular way, that there's only one way to be righteous in God's eyes, and that's by listening to what the authorities have to say. So when John is writing his letter, he's saying, you know, that's not going to work. That we need to not love in word and in speech. It's not about saying the right things, but it's really about doing the right things. We need to worship in truth and in action. And people need to be able to look at our lives, and by looking at our lives, believe that there is a God. Believe that God has called those of us who are in the community to a different kind of life that speaks of the truth of God's hope for humanity. And we see that in being present for one another. If we think that we're okay, if we are sitting on top of our hordes of stuff while others within our community have nothing, and we're fearful of letting go of whatever it is we have, then those who look at us are going to say, you know, really, there's nothing different about them. There's nothing special about them. If we are going to be people of resource or not, if we come to community, we really need to be with one another. We need to love one another, and we need to show that in truth and by our actions. We need to be people who live in such ways that we show forth God's love. And we are the people who are called by Christ to go to those communities not already represented. Those who are already here, not the people that we're about. And this is not about going out to the street corners and trying to hand out a pamphlet and drag somebody into the sanctuary here. You know, though I'm happy if you want to drag people in the sanctuary. But the you know, what it's really about is living in a different way and meeting people where they're at and inviting people to find their own best selves in the midst of the confrontation with the Spirit that comes with us wherever we go. Carol shared a story today about that was shared in Barbara Bush's service yesterday. I don't know how many of you watched the service. I was not able to. But I think, was it you, Carol, that was talking? Yeah, so So that there was a man who was a sharecropper, and he was going to read the preamble to the Constitution of the United States in a public setting. And he was very shy. And so she went to him and she said, "Well, that's okay. Let's get up there and we will read it together." And so she went to the microphone with the man who was poor and fearful of himself. And she began to read with him. And at first, her voice was louder than his. And he got comfortable and he continued to read with her. And as they spent the time reading through the preamble, her voice got softer and softer until she was silent. And the man who had been fearful was carrying the message by himself. And I just thought that's exactly what we're kind of talking about here today. What this gospel is about is about coming alongside somebody who has gifts that they don't even know they have, and inviting them to speak their truth. And sometimes we have to really come alongside and we have to voice with them their truth to help them find it. But to let people discover their own voices, to let people discover who they truly are, to let people realize that who they are, who we are, who I am, is one who is loved by God and invited to come forth and encourage the world to know that God's love is with us still. In the words of the prayer of confession today, just that idea that God is still present with us and that we seek to be as generous as God's love. And when we know that we have not been as generous as God would want us to be, then God is still with us. And in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are forgiven to stand up again, to stand up with another again, to help that person find his or her voice, and discover the truth that God calls each one of us to, be us very poor, be us marginalized, be us wealthy, be us in the center of attention, be us whoever it is that God has called us to be. We are sheep in a fold. And God needs us to speak Christ's truth to those who we often don't recognize as being important to our community and to our lives. The Good Shepherd leads us to green pastures, leads us beside still waters, keeps us on the road, even though the road is sometimes very perilous and dangerous. If we walk with the Shepherd, we will find ourselves ever yearning to return to God's place. Let us pray. So, Lord, there's certainly no shortage of false leaders nowadays. So many talking heads telling us who to be and telling us what to do, telling us what to believe, even to the point where if we say nice things about people who are them, we can be criticized by those who are us. Lord, we have to let go of these definitions that work to exclude rather than to include. That we can just be open, that we can go to the people to whom you send us, and that we can be good shepherds as we allow women and men to discover their voices, to speak their truth, and to transform our world. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.